At the end of March, we had our first Youth Sunday in a while. We were thankful for that, and I think that went very well. Heard a lot of good comments about it. And we got questions from our youth group. Kind of like the search of scriptures that Pastor Keith does, Linda Hill and Alvin, our youth directors here, put together some questions and gave me a list. From that list, I chose 8 of them. And then studied. Some of y'all wonder, does Pastor Keith really know that much? Yes, he does. Does Pastor Caleb really know that much? As long as I have notes. And so I will be answering some of these questions today. In first service, we answered the question, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Is it wrong to mock sin, like calling people homo or gay to insult them? That audio will be on our website. As I mentioned then, so I will mention again, there are many godly and good Christian teachers who address this issue probably better than me, but y'all know me, and so you kind of know the way that I go about things, and if you're wondering about that, I would encourage you to listen to that. It should be on the website sometime tomorrow. I have 17 minutes. Maybe I'll finish 2 questions, but whoever knows. The first question that was submitted by someone in our youth is, do animals go to heaven? Do animals go to heaven? The theologically robust cartoon movie All Dogs Go to Heaven apparently suggests that we do. It's been a long time since I saw that. Mostly I remember the second one creeped the snot out of me, so I wouldn't even finish it. I don't know what the story was. Do animals go to heaven? First thing that we need to cover is a Latin phrase that is Imago Dei. It's basically, you can just spell it in English, the image of God. Imago Dei suggests something special about us as human beings. We learn that from the earliest chapters of Scripture. In the Genesis chapter 1, says that God created us in the image of God, male and female, he created us. We address that in our answer to the question about homosexuality. Only humans are made in God's image. That is very clear throughout Scripture. Jesus is the express image of God, as Pastor Keith informed us from Hebrews chapter 1, and we as humans generally are made in God's image. There used to be, I don't make that drive because I'm not going to school anymore, but between here and Riverside, a billboard that said animals are people too. That is nonsense. Animals are not people too. That is not what Scripture teaches. There is something exceedingly special about human beings, special about every human being. We learn that from Scripture. The way that I talk to Arowana kids about that is that you don't go into your dog and you have a good conversation about why Captain America is a superior superhero to, say, Iron Man. You can have that conversation, but your dog's not going to respond or have an opinion. He doesn't care. He's a dog. And so as we think about the image of God, us being made special and peculiar, that is an important thing to answer this question. Let's consider a handful of different factors. There will be animals in the new heavens and the new earth, I believe, based on Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, Isaiah speaks of what will happen under the righteous reign of the branch. In the Young Adult Sunday School, we spoke of the branch this morning. That is a prefigurement of Jesus. What shall that look like in the new heavens and the new earth? Well, Isaiah tells us in verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We see here that in the new heavens, new earth, I believe that this is a parallel to what took place in the Garden of Eden before the fall came in and wiped everything out, that there will be peace in the animal kingdom, and I do not see there being anything in Scripture that precludes there being animals in the new heavens and the new earth. Indeed, it suggests that in the new heavens and the new earth, then everything will be dwelling together. I will no longer be afraid of the certain animals I am afraid of, because it will be clear that they were made to worship God, even as they are right now, made to worship God, despite the fact that the fall has snarled them up along with the rest of the created order, Romans 8. Do animals go to heaven? There are a handful of logistical issues. How many of y'all are allergic to cats? Confession time, how many of you aren't allergic but you despise cats and think they're of the devil? I am not raising my hand here. Okay, I have a handful of people. So then, how are you going to answer that question? Cats All Dogs Go to Heaven, the movie does tell us, and you know we can believe everything that comes out of cartoons. But are all cats going to go to heaven? Well, maybe not all cats. Okay, so then there's my question. When I hear people saying, well, I am just really sure that my dog is going to go to heaven, I say, why? How are you confident that your dog is going to heaven? Is this, let's just spit some things out for a few minutes. Are you confident that your dog is going to go to heaven because you are a Christian? Which would indicate that since you are a Christian, your kid is going to go to heaven simply because you're a Christian, except for the fact that all of those who go to heaven must necessarily make the decision on their own. Is your dog going to go to heaven because he's just such a good boy? Are you really going to try to pull that one? That one makes no sense to me because, again, according to Scripture, no one gets into heaven unless he calls upon the name of Jesus. So does that mean that dogs are saved through their good works, but humans aren't? That one confuses me. I'm not sure about that. How many sins of your kitty cat are you going to let slide and think, you know, I think you actually probably are going to spend eternity in hell? Okay, I say this so that we can see the peculiarity of this, not to mock those who feel very strongly about their pets being in heaven, but rather to start us thinking, okay, what does the logic suggest here? The logic suggests, and Scripture suggests, that those who are going to heaven are those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. We as human beings have been particularly made in God's image, and it is only when Jesus chooses us for salvation and we respond to him in faith that we can expect to spend eternity in heaven. I also wonder about spiders. There will be no spiders in heaven if you're going to believe that good spiders go to heaven, because according to Pastor Keith, all spiders should be shot and burned and then flushed. Is that sufficient? Okay. Interesting verse. As I was doing some research for this, I'm probably going to get a couple of dirty looks for this, but this was not my point. It was Pastor John Piper's point. In Genesis 9, 2 through 3, after Noah gets off the ark, God says to Noah, "The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered." Verse 3, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything." Just chew on that one for a second. I'm not going to make my point. I'm going to let you think about that. This is not to say that it is wrong for you to have a very close relationship with your pet. I don't particularly miss my little dog, Daisy. She was annoying. But there is every once in a while that I think, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a pet. Amy asks at least 3 times a week if we can get a cat. She was willing to sacrifice my head and all of my allergies for the sake of a cat, but I stay her with that. She loves her cats. Her parents love her cats. I love her parents' cats too. I just have to wash my hands and my face after I pet them because I'm pretty allergic to them. But as we think about these pets to whom we are very close, I think that there is a danger of getting confused as to the created order of things, and indeed of one remembering what heaven is all about. If you do not have the reference John 17:3 quickly in your memory banks, you need to put it there. John 17:3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." John 17:3. When Jesus explains heaven to people, he says, "Heaven is knowing God." Heaven is knowing Jesus. With an increasing joy in Christ, I'm expanding here, but the thought is there. With an increasing joy in Christ, with an increasing knowledge of him, that we have started eternal life even now because God has made himself known to us, and for eternity, our chief delight will be to know God and to be in immediate relationship with him. At the end of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, John says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" Heaven is about God dwelling with us, our being God's people, and his being our God. Heaven is not about the stuff that you'll get when you get there. We know that. It's not about the golden streets. It's just a perk. I am absolutely fine with folks saying, "I'm really looking forward to seeing my spouse when I get to heaven." There's a song that I really enjoy that speaks of that theme. And having been married for just shy of 2 years, I can already tell you that I'm going to need to see Amy when I get into heaven. That's a very important thing for me. Heaven is not for me about seeing Amy again. If my heaven is about seeing Amy when I get there, I'm cheating myself. If your heaven is about seeing your loved one or your son or your daughter, your husband, your dad, your granddad, you're cheating yourself. And you have a faulty view of heaven. Because heaven is not about a person, a human being. I'm still there. Jesus is one of these. Heaven is about Jesus. Heaven is not about your pet. Pets are fine. Enjoy them. Have fun with them. Take them on walks. Give them exercise. Feed them. Keep them healthy. This same man who pointed me to the Genesis passage, Pastor John Piper, there's a quote that I felt like was important enough that I should share with y'all. When people have asked him this question and say, how should I respond? Piper says this. To the 15-year-old or the 35-year-old or the 85-year-old lady who just lost her cat, I would say it is spiritually perilous to cultivate a love for an animal that has such a prominent place in your heart that you think you need him for eternity. If you think heaven won't be heaven without Fluffy, that is very dangerous. Heaven is not about your parakeet. Heaven's not even about your husband, your wife. Heaven is about Jesus. And there will be nothing in heaven that will detract from our joy in him. The thing that he says right before this point is that if you're talking to a 5-year-old whose dog just died, John Piper would say, sweetie, there will be nothing in heaven. Excuse me, rather, he says, God will provide absolutely everything you need in heaven to have joy in him. Which is a nice way of evading the question, but it's a good thing to say. It is a good reminder to say there's nothing in heaven that will detract from our joy. I would also say when it comes to this, that I have heard more than one person say, I would rather hang out with my dogs than with people because my dogs don't betray me. Or something along those lines. I far prefer cats to people. We see these cheesy signs in Hobby Lobby and places like this that I'd rather hang out with my dog than you or something like that. Maybe not Hobby Lobby. I won't throw them under the bus. But here's my other thing. Amy and I were watching a show yesterday. She's encouraged us, and I have volunteered to watch this with her. She's not forcing me. A show called Heartland. It's about some ranch up in Canada, and they love their horses. Amy loves her horses. I'll watch it with her. It's fine. There was an episode yesterday where there was a horse who had been in the family for a long time, and the horse was dying. My sweet Amy, who cannot, you know, break face all the way through the Lord of the Rings as I'm weeping as everything takes place. This horse is dying, and she's, tears are falling down. Give me a Kleenex, Caleb. That's fine. No problem. It was an emotional scene. And yet there again, there was this man who's saying that, I'll see you again sometime. You're up in horsey heaven. And no, there's not a horsey heaven. There's not a dog heaven. There's not a cat heaven. There are the new heavens and the new earth. And I'm also mindful of the fact that this is something that I see in myself also. If you are watching through an action movie, some of y'all may not watch these movies. That's between you and the Lord. I watch movies where there are good guys. They have to kill bad guys. And when there are people dying on either side, as soon as there is a little puppy dog that gets killed, then our heartstrings start getting pulled out. And if you don't, I don't want a confession, but I'm curious how many of y'all have recognized this in your own heart. You can watch scores and scores and scores of people made in God's image get butchered. And as soon as a little puppy goes down, oh man, shouldn't have done that. Okay, that's kind of terrifying for my heart that I have gotten to the point where I am more concerned about a beagle than I am about the image of the eternal God. As we think about our pets, as we think about animals, we need to keep in mind we are the ones made in God's image. Heaven is not about them. It is about Jesus. There will be nothing to detract from our joy when we get there, and you have to come to church instead of staying with your dogs. Your dogs are easy to love because they're dogs. Your cats, maybe not quite as easy to be kind to. No, I'm sorry. Your cats are easy to take care of because they're not going to sass back. Again, they're cats. They're not going to badmouth you with their words because they don't have words. Animals, of course, all of us would agree. Another line from this show, it's a fine show. Don't get me wrong. But there's this wisdom that says, boys will come and go, but a good horse will be with you for the long haul. Okay. That's fine also. I know that your dog is going to treat you better than most of the people at church will. God did not call you to love your dog. God called you to love the people in the pew beside you. God called us to love the people that irritate the life out of us more than he has called us to love our pet rat. Because we are God's people. We are his church, his building, his temple. We are the ones who are made in his image, and other people in our world also, even people who are not in the church. The person who, let's just make a blunt statement. The child predator is a wicked and horrible, there is a wickedness and horrible choices that this particular person has made. There is more intrinsic value in that person than there is in any pet you have ever owned, because he is made in the image of God and your pet is not. That's kind of a horrifying thing to think about, because we tend to look down our noses as we should look down our noses at sin. But every person has intrinsic value. This is why we make the fight for pro-life. This is why we stand against abortion, and that we say, yeah, it's probably not a great idea to do animal testing and to kill cats, but it's a cat. These are human beings. Regardless of what the dad has done, regardless of what the mom has done, regardless of what this individual will do in his or her life, there is infinite value there because God has placed his image on them, and nothing that we do can corrupt that. We can make horrible choices. We can be damned to eternity in hell by refusing to accept Jesus, the offer of salvation. But when you go to Walmart later on, when you go to get your food at your restaurant this afternoon, when you go home and you look at those people across the table during dinner, they are infinitely valuable because they have been made in God's image, and they are worthy, far more worthy of our love than any pet we may have. Father, for those who are in here who have beloved pets, I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that they would enjoy their pets. Maybe someday Amy and I can get an outside cat so that I don't die as it wanders around our house. And that's a fine thing. It's fun to get to play with animals. It's fun to get to see your handiwork. And I think that it is fine to grieve when any of these beloved pets die. I'm curious what sort of animals there will be in heaven. We get a list here, but as you recreate everything, as the animals are no longer groaning in the pains of childbirth, and they're no longer groaning, waiting for the revelation of adoption as sons, as it says in Romans 8. We'll see those animals as they were meant to be also. Lord, and we will worship you perhaps through enjoying our pets. I don't know. But I do pray for both animal lovers and animal not so much lovers, that we would remember that people are important. We're responsible for our sin. They will be responsible for their sin. But those people in Washington, D.C., whose policies we find abominable, are still made in your image. Now, those celebrities in Hollywood who are boasting in their depravity, they're still made in your image. Those people in our church services on Sunday morning that we'd rather not have to visit with, they're still made in your image, and they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. Please help us to eagerly anticipate you, that you would continue to refine our picture of heaven so that we can have the maximum amount of joy that we can by not looking forward to any sort of temporal thing or even any created or recreated thing, but to the uncreated one. The Holy Trinity, as we have sung of today, the only one worthy of our worship. Help us to live in that eternal life even now, as John 17:3 says. Thank you for giving us the grace to know you and the grace to know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Keep us close to you as we go on our way. Help us to worship you at every turn. In Jesus' name, amen.